Some of you may have noticed throughout time that I'm a little bit obsessive-compulsive about some things. It's just the way I am. It was that way even as I was a kid. It took me a long time to figure out and how to get my mind past my mind, okay? But when I was little, and especially with bug bites and things like that, I couldn't stand the fact that I had that imperfection there. And so I was going to keep picking at it, thinking that somehow it was going to go away. Now, of course, I figured out later that it was only making it worse, okay? But at that point in time, I was doing anything I could to get rid of those imperfections and those things that were bothering me. I wish I could do the same thing with every little thing in life. It doesn't work that way. But I will tell you that I'm really glad that even though I got that for, you know, sometimes my physical surroundings and my other things, if I'd have ever got that when it came to people, I would never be able to do my job. Because have you ever noticed how other people on the earth just irritate the daylights out of you? Have you ever noticed that? And there's our real challenge as a parish. There's a real challenge as a family. To deal with each other when we irritate each other, when we upset each other. And we do. We do. I've done so at least two or three times this week. And it wasn't my intention. My intention was to set some boundaries and to do some things, you know, and be, but, oh, you know, hurt people's feelings. It happens. And so then I got to go back and fix it, which takes more time, which sometimes irritates me even more. Okay? But I got to go back and do it because it's what we're supposed to do. That's one of our lessons today, is how to deal with each other. You see, one of the things I'm absolutely convinced of is that we hang on to our grudges. Human beings have a tendency to do that. Some human beings more than others, but we have a tendency to hang on to our grudges. It's like that the old saying that some of the older people used to say, honey, don't press on your bruises. It's only going to remind you that they're there. Okay? Don't press on your bruises. It's always going to only remind you that they're there. And so within that context, we have a tendency to do that as people. We want to press on our bruises because we want those grudges. Did you notice in the first reading, there's a little line about that. And it's kind of a throwaway line because the rest of it is probably more powerful in its language. But toward the end of the reading, it basically says, don't cherish your grudges. Don't cherish your grudges. Let go of them. Do you realize what a better place the world would be if we could do that with one another? If we could just let go of those grudges? Because in the gospel today, Jesus again challenges us. It's like, you know, the old law wasn't good enough. Now he's going to push us. He's going to push us to the fulfillment of the law. And he says, okay, you've read in the scriptures, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Was Gandhi once famously said, It's a wonder that the whole world isn't blind and toothless. Okay? Because how many of us want... that's our natural response. Is you did this to me, so I'm going to do this to you. How often do we get caught in that cycle? How often do we get caught in that mess of life where somebody hurt me and so I'm going to hurt them back? Or even if I don't hurt them back, that's it, I'm going to freeze them out of my life and I'm going to refuse to acknowledge their existence ever again. Do you realize how small the parish would be if everybody just basically turned away from each other and said, I'm not dealing with you anymore because we got into this situation, whatever it happens to be? There'd be no chance. You'd never have a pastor in the world because he does things like make you sing in Spanish. You see what I'm saying? We can walk away from each other because of those silly things. All right? And even though I know they're important to each of us in our own right of existence, I get that. But sometimes we got to reach for the bigger goal. My bigger goal is to not make you sound like the diatribes that I hear in the public and on TV and on the radio. And if I only accomplish that a little bit, if you only think just a little bit that maybe you shouldn't act that way, I'm a happy man. I can die tomorrow still thinking I did something to try to help you to be better. There you go. Now, I got other options and other reasons for the other two parishes, but that's my reason for you. Okay? That's my reason for you. Now you're going to walk away from me because you're mad at me? I hope not. If you do, come back when you get over it. That's all I can tell you. Next week, by the way, I think we start singing in Latin again because it's Lent, so you can be mad at me for that too. Okay? But as we approach each other in a relationship of love, as we do that with each other, how do we learn to get past pressing on our bruises? How do we learn to get past remembering our grudges? Do you realize that every time we press on that bruise, every time we remember that grudge, we're giving that other person more power? And most of the time, they're not even around. I can think of the two or three that I'll probably work the rest of my life doing that with. Because all of a sudden, I'll start thinking about it, and I'll start talking about it, and I'll start grumbling. I'm like, and all of a sudden, I realize that underneath, I'm turned into knots. And they're not even around. How much better off would I be if I could untie those knots and just let it go and bless them and keep moving? And they wouldn't have any more power over me in that regard. How much more do we need to do that with people in our lives? How much more do we need to do that? Because what Jesus is really trying to call us into is a different kind of freedom. Now, there are some... I'm just real quickly going to go through some of these because I don't know how long it took Jesus to figure this out. But I mean, he was absolutely spent some time thinking about it. He's absolutely brilliant. And he knows human nature. And so he's also trying to remind everybody that there's ways to live in the world. So like that business about if someone strikes you on your right cheek. So if I'm going to strike Jim on his right cheek, I've been waiting to do this forever. Okay. But if I'm going to strike Jim on his right cheek, I can't do it like this. Because that's just not natural, because I'm right-handed too. So most of the time, it's even a dismissive, you know, with the back of your hand, all right? Now, if it's really come to the fact that I want to hit him, who's the goofier person in the midst of this? No matter what he's done, who's really the goofier person? Me. And so what the person is being told that's even being struck is, go ahead and turn it off of the other cheek, and you'll see how goofy they are. Just turn it off of the other cheek. And they're the ones that are going to look absolutely ridiculous. That business about if somebody asks you for your cloak, give them your tunic as well. Well, that was about if a poor person had to borrow any money, the only thing they could give for collateral was their cloak. Now, the person they borrowed the money from were supposed to give them their cloak back every night because they shouldn't be cold while they were trying to sleep if that was their only blanket. But if the rich people really wanted to press it, they could take them to court and say, I'm going to do it. What does Jesus say? He says, if somebody demands your cloak from you, your only source of whatever, okay, then just show everybody how ridiculous it is. Give them all of it. Stand there naked in front of them. And who's going to look stupid here? But the one who's the oppressor. That business about going another mile, okay? Well, that's because any centurion, any Roman official could demand any basic citizen of any place that was part of the realm, any person, they could demand them to into service for a mile. And they wouldn't be breaking the law. It was their right to do so. But if they were pressed into service to go more than the mile, then they were breaking the law. The oppressor was then breaking the law. And so Jesus basically says, if they force you to go 1 mile, try going the other mile. Can you see the picture of then the centurion running after going, stop, stop, you can't do that anymore. I'm going to be in trouble. It shows how goofy the oppressor was in the first place to push forward. Jesus is trying to turn our regular way of thinking on its ear. Oppression should be out the window. It should look goofy to us. We shouldn't do it. Not forgiving each other should look goofy to us. Because that's when he gets into that last part. And he basically says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. And Jesus says, I'm telling you, you're going to be better off even if you learn how to love your enemies and pray for your persecutors. God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. If God's going to let them live and not smite them dead, what are you going to do? But learn how to love them and bless them and let it go. Now, do I think that Jesus is asking a lot of you and a lot of me? Absolutely. Because each one of us can call to mind and to heart. If I ask you to right now to close your eyes and think about that person that pushes your buttons better than anybody else in the whole wide world, you'd be able to do it. We all could. Every single one of us could. But what I am saying to you is, wouldn't you rather live in the kingdom? Wouldn't you rather be free from all that? Wouldn't that be a whole lot better way to approach life than sometimes the way that we tend to do it as human beings? The real question is, are we willing to do it?